The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Mouyeh, your host. And tonight, we are going to launch a brand new series that is called Concussion in Sports. And the subtitle is Proactive Treatment Program for Concussions. Now, you hear a lot about concussions in sports, and of course, you hear about the things that have been associated with a lot of deaths of athletes. You hear things that are talking about the injuries of athletes. But what we find is that a lot of times that people don't understand concussions. So tonight, we're going to try to explain what a concussion is, but at the same time, we're going to get into how do you get past the protocol of just simply preventing it, identifying it, recognizing it, but proactively treating it. And that's a new word that we're going to put into the sports world, which is proactively treating concussions. Now, my special guest tonight is Dr. Ab Bonsuan. He is a cardiothoracic surgeon. And he's going to tell his story tonight, how he stumbled into the proactive treatment program for concussions purely by accident when he read about a technology called photobiomodulation. Now, interesting enough, photobiomodulation was written about in 1917 and is used in protocols for stroke patients. Now, as a former tennis player, Dr. Ab, he was familiar with degeneration of muscles and tissues after long-term play from young age competitively, but he decided to try that similar protocol to treatment for muscles and scar tissues for his heart patients. Dr. Ab has since developed two devices that have been FDA approved on a limited basis and have several different treatment protocols for different situations. Through the years, though, as he began to treat patients, he started to treat athletes for muscles and scar tissues. But it wasn't until like 2011 when a desperate husband approached Dr. Ab about experimental treatment for his wife who suffered a traumatic brain injury. And that is when the proactive treatment plan for concussions was born. And at this time, I'd like to welcome Dr. Ab Bonsuan to our show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ab.
Well, thank you very much, Ida. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, I know that in our conversation, you talked about the plan being so simple, and you told me it could be used before a game as a method of prevention, during a game as a method of assessment, and after a game for management of the impact of concussions or success of concussions by an athlete. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, what is it makes this treatment so different than the typical protocol that's out there?
Well, it is different from a number of standpoints, Ida. The photobiomodulation technology is not very well known and not very well understood by physicians like myself and by just the medical community. Why that is, again, it did start. Its theory was proposed back in 1917 by Albert Einstein when he wrote a paper on the quantum theory of radiation, which led to the production of lasers and, you know, which then eventually spawned this technology and this science known as photobiomodulation. The medical community doesn't know a lot about it, that's because it wasn't taught to us in medical school, and it really wasn't taught to us in residency either. It has been around for a while, though, and I did stumble upon it because a friend of mine brought it to me. I started reading about it, researching it, talking to a number of physicists and some other scientists, and then I developed two devices based on that reading and based on some clinical research that I thought would be helpful. And these devices are portable. They're very easily carried. They're smaller than a computer, you know, and they have lasers or LEDs or light-emitting diodes, and you are able to use this on the patient's head in various areas and with various energies and for various times in order to decrease inflammation and edema and do a lot of other complicated biochemical things that I don't need to go into. But the point is that it has been shown by some others to help in patients with traumatic brain injuries in their recovery. I then started using it in athletes and people after they've had traumatic brain injuries or concussions, like after you play football or after you hit a ball with your head like in soccer, or you fall down when you're getting tackled, or you slide in baseball. We've used it in some of those instances, and there is evidence that it can help prevent some adverse neurological sequela down the road years later when you use it in this fashion.
Okay. So let me just look at this. You've got a concussion. CDC says that concussion is a type of traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
It's called by a bump, a blow, a jolt to the head. Can change the way your brain normally works. Concussion can occur from a blow to the body, cause the head to move rapidly back and forth, even a ding getting your bell rung, or what seems to be a mild bump or blow to the head can be serious. So
yeah.
These are the things that the CDC says is a concussion and looks at that in terms of traumatic brain injury. Now, the impact of these things could be almost... I mean, a lot of times people get these things, they go right back in the games and they play. And I know now the CDC has a protocol of recognition, response, and prevention. And they have all kind of kits out there now and all kind of training, both in the NFL and the NCAA, and at the high school level to help prevent these kind of things. But is it not true that particularly in sports, there's no way to really prevent a concussion, even with the best helmet?
Well, that is true. You know, football and some other sports, skiing, alpine skiing, for example, football, hockey, they have tried to do their best with helmets and changes along those lines. It has never been shown, actually, that those changes have made significant benefits. So the answer to your question is correct. It is very difficult to prevent concussions. I guess the only way to really prevent it is just don't play that sport.
But again, you could actually be, as someone said, you could be in a car accident and your head not even go to the windshield, but you still have a concussion.
Oh, correct. And I'm sorry. In sports, that's correct. There's no way to prevent it. And certainly most or many concussions actually do result from falls and from motor vehicle accidents. I mean, in fact, you've been discussing this in the beginning of your show, but, you know, traumatic brain injury is the leading cause of death in North America for individuals between the age of 1 and 45. In fact, you know, there's about almost 2 million people, have a new concussion every year. The data was 1.8 million back in 2003. So that is a lot of people, and in fact, the economics are staggering. The economic impact of traumatic brain injury in the United States in medical costs is about $9.2 billion in lifetime medical costs and about $51 billion in productivity losses. So it is a massive problem.
Well, quite honestly, because of the fact that we are only seeing a lot of attention being paid to this now is because of the sports industry, the occurrences of these deaths. that we're starting to see. But, of course, when I went back and studied athletes that have actually been, you know, diagnosed or not diagnosed with concussions, but maybe had those symptoms, those numbers could be staggering, particularly because you see the after effect of it. Now, we look at a lot of these deaths occurring around about 42 years of age. Why is that significant? I think we had like three or four deaths that were around 42 years of age. Why is that significant in terms of this whole aspect of maybe the deterioration of everything?
Well, you know, people who've had multiple concussions, whether they're a football player, baseball, they're a hockey or a boxer, they're in the military or whatever, right away when you have a post-concussion syndrome, you know, some of the common sequelae, as we know, headaches, dizziness, cognitive impairments like memory problems, you know, neuropsychiatric issues, you know, those are, you know, fairly within the first week or two you can see some of those, and the majority of those will go away over the course of a few months. However, even if it's not repeated, to answer your question about why that 40 to 50 year age range is important, is because even if you don't have any other concussions, and as we know, people who have one, oftentimes in sports, they're going to have others. There is a cumulative effect of this type of injury to your brain, such that by the time you get to be about 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, the cumulative effect of all that injury starts to take its toll.
Well, there we have it. Okay. So what I want to do now is that let's shift to, we talked about the short-term part of this, and now we're into the long-term part of it. Let's look at the protocols that you've set up. I mean, you have two devices here,
yes,
that you've been using, and I want to look at those devices. You've got one, which is, of course, is the XR3T1. Tell us a little bit about that particular. In other words, how is it managed, and what is the clinical results you're looking for, and what are the benefits of it? We'll start off with that one first. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Sure. It's a photobiomodulation device that has, you can set it to, I have chosen the different wavelengths of light because based on research, not only my own, but other research that is out there, there is research that shows that certain wavelengths are better absorbed by the body and better absorbed by the receptors, which are, in this instance, we're talking about the mitochondria, a transmembrane protein complex in the mitochondria as the receptor for this light. So what we have is a device that uses that technology. It's emitted by, there's these handheld probes. One is made of lasers and one is LED or light emitting diodes. And I've fashioned both of those with the power density, the energy density, and the wavelength of light that I've chosen, and the pulse frequency. I mean, these are all physics things, and certainly important for me to know, but maybe not as important for some of the audience to really understand, although it's no problem to explain all that. But you basically have to choose those illumination parameters, which I do by my settings on the device, and then you apply the device to the patient's head. It's non-invasive. There is no need for any incisions. And typically, because the prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate gyrus, those two parts of the brain that are most commonly affected and have to do with memory and attention and neuropsychological issues like that I've mentioned, we try to hit those areas most importantly. So you would apply this device to your forehead, above your right eye, above your left eye, then the temporal regions, and then above your head. And at each spot, you would only need to do it for about 1 to 2 minutes. So if we're talking about every football player, because every play I would consider a mild traumatic brain injury. I mean, these players are hitting their heads together with helmets, but that's mild traumatic brain injury occurring. So after every game, you know that the brain of these players has undergone something that a normal person should really never have to experience, and a normal brain would not have experienced. And if the brain experiences this, certainly there's going to be some issues. So my hypothesis, and again, I just created these devices 2 years ago. I've been using them since then. And as you said, I've had phenomenal results with stroke patients. I've had phenomenal results with traumatic brain injury patients. But, of course, it did start out from a musculoskeletal standpoint and helping athletes with scar tissue and inflexibility. But what I found in these traumatic brain injury patients and these stroke patients is that from a cognitive standpoint, and what I mean by that is improving memory, improving their ability to read and recall what they read, improving their ability, or I should say lessening their headaches. There's a patient that was having difficulty driving to my office. After we had been treating him for about 10 weeks, he had to always drive with somebody because he could never remember the directions. Well, after we had been treating him, he's now able to drive to our office on his own with nobody there because he has no problems remembering how to get there and, you know, the route. So, and speech has been something that I've been able to make some very, very dramatic inroads in. I mean, patients with aphasias, meaning a little bit of slurred speech or slow speech, or their fluency of their speech has been a little bit off. After treatment, the majority of these patients are speaking significantly better than they had been before. So those are just some examples of what I've been able to accomplish so far by the grace of God and with these devices, photobiomodulation devices.
Okay. Let me just bring in a special guest we have here. His name is Jonathan, and Jonathan is here from, Jonathan is 28 years old. He is a former Marine. He served from 2006 to 2007 in the Marines in the theater in the Middle East. And in 2006-2007, he experienced what we would consider as improvised explosive devices, you know, and so he was not diagnosed until 2011 with traumatic brain injury. And Jonathan, I'd like for you to ask the doctor any questions that you may have right now.
One thing I wanted to know, would this new thing take on severe impacts such as C4 explosions and things of that nature?
Jonathan, first of all, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your service to the country. I just got to start off by saying that.
Most appreciated.
You know, I do understand what you're talking about. I do know that there's been a lot of attention paid much more so recently because of Afghanistan, Iraq, and everything else that our country's involved in and that you other men and women are serving over there. Yes. So to answer your question, yes. When you have explosions like that and you and other people are experiencing brain injury because of, you know, either a contra coup injury or the blast effect and you getting, you know, thrown, yes. No matter what, there are different ways for brain injuries or concussions to occur, and a lot of times, certainly from neuroimaging, you can understand, okay, well, you know, is it a sheer injury in this case? Is there diffuse white matter disease? Was there axonal injury? Is there cerebral edema? What is going on? Well, whatever the mechanism that is going on in your brain, this technology hits, this technology is able to affect that from a number of different avenues, increasing the ATP production in your cells, which means the brain cells are then able to heal a little better. It improves blood flow to certain areas of your brain, so that helps it heal better. There are also other cytoprotective mechanisms, neural recovery mechanisms that this technology, and again, I've experienced, of course, with my devices. What my devices are able to do that will help your situation, and again, many other similar situations of other servicemen and women, and even other different ones. As long as there was a brain injury, okay, I believe there is a very high chance of this helping and improving the situation for that person.
Wow. Okay. One more question that I have.
Yeah, John.
Now, would this the treatment depend on the size and the gender of the person, or just based on the traumatic injury that has happened in the brain?
That is correct. When I've been using this technology for athletes because of scar tissue and muscle sprains, groin pulls, Achilles tendon rupture, ACL surgery, rotator cuff, what have you, in that situation, yes, the length of treatment will depend on the size of the patient. However, with the protocols that I have regarding brain injury, the answer is no. Really, the size of the patient is not a big factor. What's important is just the amount of time, the amount of energy that I am trying to impart to that person's brain. The important thing that I use, of course, is the neuropsychological testing a few weeks out, my own neurologic exam to assess how the patient is doing, and then also, of course, I depend upon the patient to tell me, Dr. Boonswong, I'm sleeping better. Dr. Boonswong, my memory is better. Or Dr. Boonswong, okay, it's been 6 weeks, I'm not feeling that as much improvement as you were thinking that I would. And then when I hear that, then I might adjust it and treat sometimes a little bit more, but sometimes a little bit less, Jonathan. It will depend, again, on what the feedback from that patient is, because the technology that I'm using has a biphasic dose response curve. Now, I'm not trying to be fancy on you, but all I'm saying there means that if you treat for too short a period of time or if you treat for too long a period of time, you will get effects that are not as effective as if you treat it for the correct amount of time. And obviously, that is why you must be trained. You should be a medical person who knows what they're doing, and you should have experience with these devices on how to do this.
Now, let me ask a question. Is there any side effects?
In the 40 to 50 years of this technology being around, again, Ida and Jonathan, my name is Dr. Boonswong. I'm a cardiac surgeon. I did not invent this technology. It was started through when Albert Einstein wrote his paper on the quantum theory of radiation, touting this possibility of stimulated emission. All right. Since then, many people have been interested in this technology. I do feel, though, that I've advanced it to a degree that nobody else has. Okay, so I start off by saying that. In all that time, all these other people that have been interested in this technology, and then even myself over the past few years, in all the papers that are in the world literature, there has never been an adverse effect detailed ever, which is such a beautiful thing.
You just wonder why a lot of people are not using it, knowing that it does exist.
But well, like you know, I said, again, just like I said in the beginning.
You're not exposed to it, yes.
They're not exposed to it, and we as physicians were never taught about it in medical school. We were never taught about it in residency, and even myself, it's only by the grace of God that a friend of mine said, Dr. Boonswong, have you ever heard of this? And I said, no. But once she brought it to me, then I started doing significant amounts of research and talking and reading and speaking to scientists and other physicists and learning about it. And then, of course, using it in my clinical setting in my office and then seeing everything that it could do. And I have to tell you, it's been dramatic. And I am very excited to be able to share this with you and Cliff and Jonathan and Henry.
Excellent. Jonathan, do you have any more questions before we go to break?
Oh, no, I have no more further questions.
Okay. Well, before we go to break, we talked about the clinical benefits of this. I think a lot of people worry about initially when there's a concussion, there's inflammation, there's edema, all those different things. And I imagine it goes to the core of that to try to treat that, to get some of that down, because it's almost like the swelling of the blood in the head and things of that nature. Is that pretty much it? Is that the whole point of it?
that is a big point of it, Ida. You are absolutely correct. But there are other things going on. And so you must, so even though what you've just mentioned is a big part of it, you have to also remember a number of other mechanisms. Number one, the increased ATP production in the cells, or increased energy for the cells. When the cells have more energy, they can then heal more properly and
so
do what they
like
need to
do. A nerve regeneration type thing, or?
Exactly like that. Exactly okay. like that. And another big thing is when you've got all this increased energy and you're getting increased DNA and RNA synthesis and other proteins and genes, you're getting the upregulation, okay, the increase of certain factors that I believe and that other scientists believe who are interested in this type of technology are protective to the brain and even help the brain recover, what we call in the business neural recovery mechanisms. So it's not only what you mentioned, although that's important, there are a number of other things happening, and I think that's why it's so effective and so really exciting, because it does kind of hit the problem from a number of different avenues.
Okay. Now, I think we're going to go to break now. We're going to be back in about 3 here. So what we'll do is, let's just hold that. We're going to come back. We're talking to Dr. Ad Boonswan, and we're talking about a new technology that is actually beginning to sweep the country, that is a proactive way of treating concussions. We'll be back in 3. This is Ida Moyer.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is the first part series called Concussion in Sports, Proactive Treatment Program for Concussions. And in our studio, we've got some special guests, Dr. Ab Boonswan, who is actually giving us a whole new approach to looking at concussions and traumatic brain injuries. particularly the CDC looks at the recognition, response, and prevention. And, you know, for our athletes out there and our parents out there, you know, there's a lot of great instructions that you can get. There's a 24/7 hotline that you can go to if a concussion occurs and you want to use that. There's an 800 number with 800 CDC info and 800-234-4636. You can call them at any time if you think a concussion has occurred, either in a high school player or even a middle school player, even someone who's in college and hasn't been recognized. Because sometimes a concussion can actually occur without a loss of consciousness and later on have other kind of effects that we've learned tonight. So, quite honestly, we want to make sure that you're on top of that. We're going to go back to our show, and we're going to bring back our special guest, Dr. Bond Swan, who is basically talking about a brand new treatment. It's not new in terms of its ability to be known, because it was known in 1917. It was written by Albert Einstein, but it has been actually in the closet because it's not taught at medical school. It's something that people are stumbling in on, and it's called photobiomodulation. And Dr. Von Swan and his group is leading the charge in this theory and treating concussions. I want to welcome you back to the show, Dr. Al.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Ida.
Very good. And at the break there, we were talking about basically some of the clinical benefits of the treatment that you are using right now with your patients and the different devices that you have actually invented and have been, you know, been actually approved by FDA. There was another one called XR3T2. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, you know what? The XR3T2 is another one of my devices. That one, actually, I haven't used in the post-concussion or the concussion management or the traumatic brain injury patients as much. That one uses the same technology. It's photobiomodulation. I've chosen a little bit of different illumination parameters there, but it's largely the same. The big difference, though, Ida, is that the XR3T1 is the device that I would carry around, or that I would say to a college team or a high school team, this is the one that you would use, so then in the locker room you'd be able to apply it to the patient, you know, after the game. The XR3T2 actually was spawned. It's a device that covers the whole body from your head to your toe. And the reason for that is I had found, and you know, we're not talking about this in your show today, but what I was using that device for athletes was helping them recover from soreness and delayed onset muscle fatigue, after an intense workout or after a game. So say, you know, Rafael Nadal played a 5-set tennis match, or, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, played a game and, you know, they just had a long game and it was brutal and everybody was very tired. You know, obviously, as you know, these quarterbacks or running backs especially, they say that they're very difficult to get out of bed on Monday. And even Tuesday it's difficult, and then they're starting to do well again, you know, later on in the week because of all the tackling and all the soreness that had happened from the game. Well, the T2 allows them to have their recovery time, have the speed of recovery increase, because their whole body is getting this increased ATP production and getting rid of the inflammation and the edema that ensued. So I use the T1 really for the brain and other parts of the body, but for the concussion areas, it's mostly the T1.
Okay. Now, we have another guest here. His name is Henry.
Yes.
He is a former NFL great. He's played a completely consecutively 159 games. So it's about 60 plays per game. Do the math on that. So it's about 1,000 times his bell has probably been rang. And he was very dominating in there. He was very intimidating. He was very tough. He even learned the nickname of Killer as a result of that. And so he is on the line, and I want to welcome Henry to the line. Welcome to the line, Henry.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, he is 60 years old, doctor, and I want him to ask you his questions.
Please go ahead, Henry.
No, I was Yes, Ida and I were talking about it earlier. She was asking me about how many concussions. And I was telling her, I said, practically every play when a player's playing with, in some cases with intensity, there's some type of concussion that occurs.
Yes.
And I can remember many times, you know, when playing, especially against someone that's very physical, and they're using their forearm, and you're, after the play, you go back, and you're seeing bells. And I've had a few times where I've had to ask the quarterback kind of hold up, you know, let me kind of get my brain, my mind back focused. So you touched on earlier, practically every play, there's some kind of concussion going on.
Yeah, I think so.
But I also feel like, and I was flashing back, and in many of the plays, not just with linemen, but with receivers, running backs, and different backs, when they're being tackled, the whiplash that they occur when their neck goes back forward with those real traumatic hits, I think even does as much damage as their head-on collisions does.
Well, you know what, Henry? There have been a lot of studies on football players in the National Football League and in the NCAAs, and there's a new term, and maybe you are familiar with it, maybe you're not, but, or rather, let me not say a new term, but there is a term that it's called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And what the doctors, and these are mainly neurologists, you know, that have been able to see this, where they're, you know, able to either, you know, look at the patient's brains under an MRI or a CAT scan and this type of thing, you know, other neuroimaging studies. But the people that you're referring to, and there are then severe cases, because even though you're a normal individual and your brain is fine from what I gather and from what you're telling me, there are many people, you know, your age, and even because you're young, you're in your 50s is what Ida said, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard correctly.
Well, I'm 60.
No, you're 60, okay. But there's people who are a little bit younger than you or even around your same age who, because of these repeated blows and repeated injuries, the cumulative effect is that the brain tissue can start to become, I don't want to use this word because I'm a physician, but it's almost like become a little bit more like mush, if you will. And what I've been able to see that, okay, what do people get when they get concussions? I mean, they're getting dizziness, headache, insomnia, anxiety, loss of concentration, loss of memory. They don't like loud noises, things like that. Well, that may or may not go away, but even if it were to go away, years down the line, some of these things and other neurological sequela can come up. And my contention is that if you use my devices and this technology, if the NFL can use this on players after every game, you know, then I believe, I mean, again, I've only been doing this for 2 years, so I don't have any 10-year data on this, but I believe I'm seeing that, I bet you, if you looked at patients and players down the road, that there's going to be a good chance, very good chance, that a lot of the things that are going that we're seeing now can be prevented. And that would be a victory.
Well, I find that my problem has been, I've in the last couple, 3 years, I find myself talking, and in the middle of me talking, I just forget my whole chain thought of what I'm saying. You know, I have to go around a few circles and then, you know, try to remember what I was talking about, or someone remind me. And I don't know if that's related or not. But and then my other is just being, getting motivated. My head hurts on the back of my neck, and I had a major concussion, I think, and I just went out. And ever since, though, I've had problems with my head and my neck, but they could never see it, find anything wrong.
I understand that, Henry. And yes, listen, you are not an old man. You're 60, okay? So normal 60-year-olds, all right, should not have problems typically, unless there's another reason. You know, and again, you're telling me they've never found any reason, so they've done scans on you, metabolically you're fine, they're not telling you there's any other reasons for you to have to, all of a sudden, mid-sentence, forget what you were trying to say, and then also about your head hurting, and sometimes, you know, you're just getting motivated. I mean, hearing that without doing an extensive neuropsychological evaluation on you or talking to you or doing a neurologic exam in my office, it does sound, however, that you do probably have some sequela of, you know, of a brain injury because of all those years in the NFL and all the Super Bowls you won and everything like that. So again, I do feel, and I haven't treated anybody who's been this many years out from concussions like you, but I've treated many of them that have been close to that, and I do feel that, you know, there's a good chance that I could help you.
Very good, very good. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back in three, and then we're going to hear from our other guests here as well. And we'll be back with Dr. Boon Swan and our guests here talking about concussions and traumatic brain injury, and we're talking about the photobiomodulation.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk is cheap.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We have been talking in this last hour about concussions in sports and talking about a new way to look at concussions from a proactive point of view. In other words, we're introducing a proactive treatment program for concussions through a method called photobiomodulation. And we've had a guest, Dr. Ab Boon Swan, who was introduced to me by Felicia Young, mother of Vince Young, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. I want to just send a shout out to Felicia for introducing the doctor to me. And also to thank her for letting me know the type of work that he was doing, because we think that it is time that people take a proactive stance against these concussions and not wait until someone gets 42 years of age, pulls out a gun, and shoots themselves. We need to take a proactive approach to this and prevent the long-term as well as the short-term devastation of the injury. And I want to thank Dr. Boon Swan for being here and helping us with that. And thank you again. We're going to bring him back, Dr. Boon Swan.
I'm here. Thank you, Ida.
Okay.
Great to be here.
I'm going to ask my last guest here. He is a former, a baseball player, pennant winner. He's 64 years of age. And he, of course, used to throw with the right and catch with the right. And, he's made a lot of differences in terms of baseball and the history of baseball for over like 14 or 15 years that he played. But here's what he has. he really did not receive that many concussions. He says that a couple of times he's got hit on the coconut head. But also, he received one specific injury that a ball hit him square in the face mask. And it actually broke the face mask. And so at that time when he was playing, he didn't go right to the hospital. He went back to his, you know, residence where he was staying at in Florida, and then later on drove himself to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, they immediately rushed him by ambulance to Orlando, Florida, to be treated for headaches.
Okay.
And I want to welcome Cliff, our 64-year-old individual, to the show. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Thank you, Ida.
Do you have any questions for the doctor?
Well, first of all, you said pennant winner, but we were two-time world champion in New York in
1978. I'm so sorry. World champion, excuse me.
That's quite all right. But, Doc, I did, as I had stated, I was catching in the Florida State League at the time, and had a hard throwing boy pitching for me one night, and a foul tip caught my face mask very square.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, we didn't know of concussions at the time. I mean, that was something that it was kind of foreign to us.
Yeah.
But I can certainly relate to concussions as it is now. I more than likely I probably did have a concussion.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I after the game was over, I mean, I showered, I went to my residence and just tried to carry on normally. But after a while, I realized that something was definitely wrong. So I drove myself to a hospital, and after that, put me in an ambulance and drove me over from Cocoa, Florida to Orlando. And I spent a couple of days in the hospital. And it was not a pleasant, it was not a pleasant feeling. Headaches, blurred vision, it was just an awful feeling.
Yeah, you did likely have some sort of brain injury there and a post-concussion syndrome, Cliff. When they got the images of your brain, I imagine they got a CAT scan. Did they say that there was any abnormality there?
You know, Doc, this was about 67, 68.
Yeah, long time.
And
yeah.
I, you know, I can't really go back and bring
yeah,
up
sure.
date as far as, you know, what their findings were.
Sure.
But I can guarantee you that it was definitely more than just a bump on the coconut and, you know, you shake it off after a while, you know, and you know, get back in the game.
Well, it obviously was because you spent a few days in the hospital, Cliff. Tell me this. You told me about your symptoms there. How long did they last?
It lasted a good couple of days or so.
And how did you feel a month later, and how did you feel about 6 months later? Do you recall those symptoms coming back, or did they go and they never came back?
No, they pretty much kind of vanished.
Okay.
Okay. But it was hell to pay, you know, right after it happened.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, again, you know, when you get a concussion or when something like that happens, obviously you're there. And, you know, the immediate concern is to make sure there was no life-threatening subdural hematoma, epidural hematoma, some sort of intraventricular hemorrhage, intraparenchymal hemorrhage, anything like that. I mean, anything that would require surgery to fix. So that's what, and obviously you would remember that if you had surgery or not, and likely you didn't, but that's why you go to the hospital and they check on you. And again, even if they get imaging the first day or that very day, you might actually have something happen a couple of days later. So that's why they probably, since you were so severe, they kept you in, and they likely, if we were to go back to 67, 68, I bet you they got a CAT scan when you arrived, and likely before you left, they got another one. But let me tell you that when you have traumatic brain injuries, you know, there's a primary brain injury, and then you get a secondary injury. So that's the pathophysiology of traumatic brain injury-related injuries. So the primary injury occurs right at that time, and that could be, like I just said, it could be due to a shearing-type mechanism. It could be due to that injury that smashed you, a coup injury. When your head snaps back, there's a contra-coup effect and things like that. However, the secondary brain injury is usually considered a cascade of molecular injury mechanisms that are initiated at the time of that trauma, and those molecular mechanisms can continue for hours to days. And what those mechanisms are things that we've already touched on and that Ida has said, you know, inflammatory responses, electrolyte imbalances, some free radical injuries due to disruption of cell membranes, ischemia or issues with blood supply because of vasospasm or injuries to blood vessels, and mitochondria dysfunction. I mean, cellular problems. And see, what the beauty of what my device does is that it does try to attack these injuries at the primary brain injury level and at the secondary brain injury level. And again, it's beautiful that you have a chance to bring this up because, again, you were there for days, and that allowed me to say that the secondary brain injury molecular injury mechanisms usually continue for days. And so the device, if used at the time of the injury, not only can help with some of the edema and swelling, it usually takes about 4, 5, 6 hours for there to be, you know, benefit. I mean, you don't get benefit, you know, like in 5 minutes. It does take a few hours for it to work. But then, because of what I initiated with my device, the secondary brain injury mechanisms, I'm believing and I'm hoping and I think that it attacks it at that level too. And again, look, this technology is not very well known by the medical community, but it is well known that there are no side effects. So I just would love to see the NFL or the NHL or pro boxing or hockey, help us with a study where we use this, the protocols that I've set up, because there's no downsides, and say, hey, are these, we'll treat the Philadelphia Flyers, and maybe we'll compare their team to the rest of the NHL in regarding to neuropsychological testing, you know, outcomes before and after, and, you know, or you do, you know, one team, you do the Oakland Raiders, and you see how they compare to the rest of the league, and it would be really beautiful and exciting to see.
Well, that's why we're going to continue this show until next week, because we got a lot more to talk about. We got a lot more to talk about, because they'll be cutting us off shortly here at the end of the hour here. But I want to thank Dr. Abb for coming on. He'll be back with us next week, so get your notes down, folks, and have them ready for next week. He'll be back with us next week to answer more questions. If you've experienced any of these symptoms and you have questions, we want you to be ready next week. So we're going to be live again here Tuesday talking about that. We do have also a guest with us in the studio, Dina Moore.
Hi.
Hi. Dina, I know you have an announcement, something really exciting about Sports Mom Tour that's coming up. Could you tell us a little bit about that before we close the show out?
Okay, I sure will. Hey, listen, my name is Dina Moore, and we're with the I Think I Am Foundation. I'm the president and founder of this foundation, and we're benefiting children who've been given up for adoption and placed in foster care. And we're going to have a Sports Moms Tour. We've got Vince Young's mom, Felicia Young, coming into town, and we've got Shaquille O'Neal's mom and Dwight Howard's mom and Josh Smith and quite a few other moms, Loretta Williams, Lavernia's mother, Lavernia's Cole. They'll all be here, and we'll be going to women and children's shelters, domestic violence centers, and we'll be sharing our stories and just interacting with some of the less fortunate during that week. And to culminate everything, on June 2nd, we're having our Celebrity Midday Soiree, and it's a red carpet event. It's going to be right here in Warner Robins, Georgia. That'll be from 1 to 5 p.m., and again, those moms will be there, as well as other NFL players, and hopefully some of the NBA players will be there as well. So we're looking to have a great time. We've got
Give them your website to make sure they can get in contact with you.
They can go to www.ithinkiamfoundation.com, or they can contact me at my on my phone, 478-714-1040.
Excellent. And we'll have her back next week to talk more about this, because the events are going to start on May 30th. And,
May
30th. We want to make sure we're there with her in that respect.
Okay, great.
Good. We'll have her back next week to tell us more about it. Yes. So as we begin to close our show, because obviously we're coming to the end of the hour here, just want to let you know this is the beginning of a four-part series called Concussion in Sports, Proactive Treatment Program for Concussions. I want to thank my guests, Jonathan, Cliff, and Henry, and Dr. Ab Bonswan, for being so gracious with us tonight. Dr. Ab will be back with us next week to conclude the show. And look, we'll be here another 2 weeks after that. Come with your questions, because I know you have a lot of them out there. If we don't have the answers, we'll go out there and get them for you. This is the Sports Maverick Show.
Thank you for joining Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.